Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 7:04 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Sunday, Commanders come to town. Falcons want this win. Kickoff is at 1. Now we're breaking down the offense piece by piece. A lot has been made of the Dan Orlovsky video that went out yesterday with him breaking down the pistol. If you haven't seen it, go ahead, check our Twitter account. Mike has opinions. We're going to get to that part at 7:40. Because I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but Dan responded. Did you see that part?
No.
Yeah, he responded. And so Zach Robinson yesterday, we've been talking about him a lot this morning. He spoke to the media addressing some of the parts that we've been talking about. Let's hear from Zach on the starting point of the running back in the pistol formation.
Last week, you guys didn't bring it up. We ran for 220 yards. Like, but I know it's convenient narrative each week. The back starts in the exact same location underneath the center and in the pistol. Just, you know, so we all know that in here. And again, there's nothing different. Obviously, our run game has so many different snap points and things that we activate with some of our tight ends, some of our receivers, that it does give us a ton of versatility. It was incredibly successful for us last year when we played Washington. Last year, we were heavy pistol, and our efficiency running out of pistol, one of our analytics guys just told me it was like over 85% or something. So I know it's a convenient, easy narrative to go that route because of what just happened last week. But again, we go off of what defenses think, and played against our defense all throughout training camp. Defensive coordinators that I talked to in the offseason tell us how difficult that is to defend just in terms of the versatility that there is out of it. So we'll always go off of what the defense thinks as opposed to, you know, no offense, anything out there.
I understand what he's saying. And this goes back to the conversation that there is nothing inherently wrong with the pistol. Mm-hmm. It's the way Zach Robinson is utilizing the pistol.
Mm-hmm.
We can bring now, you know, and the Orlovsky video coming up, which we'll talk about. There's a lot of talk about the depth of the running back. Running backs and pistol are usually heels at 7.5 yards. Now, I think Bijan, sometimes when the yard marker, the thing, you know, the down to distance where the ball's set, Bo, it's like, I think Bijan is like, I don't know, where's 7.5 yards? Sometimes the heels are a little bit deeper, sometimes they're a little bit closer up. But I think what Zach is talking about, the distance the running back is because of how soon you need to make your cut. And we've talked about this till we're blue in the face. If you're going to run wide zone, you can't run it out of shotgun because the running back is too far in the backside of the formation. That's one of the things that I think Dan Orlovsky is kind of getting wrong, or maybe I'm just assuming he's getting wrong with his video. We'll talk about that coming up. But the running back depth to me is not a problem in the pistol. It's not. I haven't seen it be a problem. And there's a lot of truth to what Zach is saying, is that when you run the ball, you know, for 200 yards or whatever it may be, 150, let's not talk about the depth of the running back the week that it might not work on like one play. So I think that's a lot of conversation out there. It's the way we're utilizing it. It's the predictability of it. And I've watched a couple of plays now against Carolina where we've run play action pass out of the pistol, and the urgency, Bo, of Michael Penix's footwork. We talked about it with Arch the other day about what it is on passing downs. It's the same on play actions, the bootlegs and the ones inside the pocket. His feet are not stressing what the defense is doing. There's not enough urgency on this fake handoff and things like that to actually force the defense to have to react, and that's one of the biggest problems. Not the depth, it's not the formation, it's the way we're utilizing it and the urgency with which we're playing at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think that's what we've been trying to say all along, and we get hammered with, you guys are making excuses, blah, blah, blah. There's 11 guys out there every play that have to work in unison, and they have to do everything right for things to work. And you've got you know, the guys that are setting this up, the coaches, the Zach Robinson, and a lot of that's going to fall on him. It's not so easy. I mean, when you don't do things right as an offense as a whole, you can get away with, you know, you basically one guy has to be special at that point, right? And to make something out of nothing. But John Robinson has done that a little bit for this offense. He's been able to do that. They didn't use Charlie Warner a lot last week too, and I don't know where that went. Charlie Warner has been the lead blocker for this offense for a season and three games now. But that game, he's seemingly non-existent. The Penix stuff is very interesting because he played pretty bad, and he knows it. You can go back and watch his emotions and his body language on the sidelines and during the game. And when he didn't play well, this offense suffered greatly. And that is that way in a lot of teams. If the quarterback doesn't play well, you're going to suffer. And that's really what happened to me.
Well, and Zach Robinson yesterday, you know, there has been, we've been talking about it, how it's a little bit too predictable out there. And Zach Robinson clearly has heard the criticism as well, because he talked about his offense seeming too predictable.
We don't feel that way. I feel like sometimes when you have these type of games as coaches, you say, okay, do we need to pull back? How can we pull back to simplify? And maybe we're trying to do much from a schematic standpoint. That's always, you know, when what we're looking inward as coaches is like, okay, maybe we put too much on the plate. Maybe we're trying to scheme too much and we need to simplify. So I would actually kind of counter that to say, in these moments you typically try to get simpler, where we possibly could have been trying to over scheme at times. But don't see any of that. Don't see that from our opponent. They're playing everything true. Again, the execution will handle a lot of those things, and again, it starts with me. We got to be able to have the right clarity so that we can execute on Sunday, and so those things don't happen.
I got to be honest, when I saw this, I saw Taren Wack from AtlantaFalcons.com put this quote out as a tweet, and I almost lost my mind because the offense is too predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Robinson's offense is too predictable. Now, I don't know. Maybe you guys can help me with this. I don't know if predictable is the right term. It's very simple in terms of wherever we think the ball's going, it's probably going there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's predictability. Now, I think when Zach Robinson, Bo, when he talked about this and this exact quote, I think he's talking about passing game. I think he's talking about, well, you know, The receivers are running the wrong routes a couple of times, and maybe we ought to simplify it so they can understand the routes better. I am looking at that, and I think the question was aimed at just the offense as a whole. But I think I've kind of said all along, Zach Robinson is a passing guy. He is trusting Dwayne Ledford to run the run game. And so there seems to be a disconnect. I don't know if the term predictable is it, but, dude, Zach, please, God, don't simplify the offense. Please don't do that. I will lose my mind if Zach Robinson, quote-unquote, like he just talked about, simplifies the offense. You're already putting your offensive line in a lot of bad situations. There's no draw game. There's no run game. There's no guessing at any point from the linebackers, from the safety, of where the ball is going. If you simplify it further than that, I'm going to be in a really bad mood on Monday.
Yeah, I took simplify as maybe some of the verbiage they're using with play calls. Maybe I think you're onto something with the route tree, or maybe what they're asking them to do in multiple situations, because the wide receiver group as a whole has looked abysmal to start this season. Nobody's really looked great, and they have been off. They're not on the same page. I think for me is that. And I see some, but I feel like we're not seeing near. Remember when Kirk came here, or not when he came here, but when he was on the quarterback show and we watched it, he's like, man, there's so many emotions and so many this, so many that. Does it feel like there's so much right now? Does it feel like there's a lot of things that are kind of confused defenses? Because it doesn't feel that way. Everyone uses predictable and everything. I think vanilla is probably the term that best suits it at the moment. And how do you counter that? You know, you had 200 and something yards rushing against Minnesota, and it was great. And then you got down, and when you're down 17-0, you're not going to run play action every third play. You're just not.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. You can tell me you can still do something all you freaking want. It's not going to happen. And we have gotten hung up as a fan base and a media on words like pistol and play action, to where I'm not even sure most of the people using them know what play action really is.
Well, how easy is this problem to fix? I mean, being too predictable or vanilla, as you guys are calling it, is it as easy as just flipping a switch, Mike, or what do you do?
Well, first, and I'll go back to last week because I made a fool of myself how excited I was about seeing a pulling guard.
Yeah.
And the reason I was so excited, Alex, because I was like, it's in there. Like, there it is. You've actually worked on this. At some point, you've run a power play or a counter play. My God, it's in there. Like, we just have to uncover different layers. And what I would challenge Zach Robinson to do, I think maybe sometimes it's his first time as offense coordinator. Zach Robinson's been coaching 7 years, 8 years, whatever it may be. He hasn't been coaching very long. Dude, I know this sounds ridiculous. Go watch Detroit. Go watch Baltimore. Go watch Kansas City. Go watch San Francisco. The good offenses in the NFL had a lot of moving parts, man. I don't need you to simplify anything. Go watch the moving parts. Figure out where the motions are going, how many people they utilize in motions, the different tactics they use to get defenses off balance and to get people in, to get people open. I need more of that. I'm going to challenge this offense to be more of that.
I think some of that, though, is there – and look, I'm just asking a part of it as long with making the statement is, are we built like some of those teams? Because when I think about Detroit's offensive line, those guys are big and they're maulers. I don't think we're built that way. I would tend to think that we are built to get guys out and move them and get them on the run, but we don't do it. And then Chris Lindstrom, who, like, not my words, Chris Lindstrom told you, we do what we're good at. Well, I don't know how they're not good at some of those things. I'm not sure where the breakdown is. But as much as we hate how Penix runs the bootleg out of the pistol and immediately a guy comes unblocked in his face, I watched Washington do it from under center, and it looked identical as far as the result, where Mariota tried to do it last week against the Raiders, and as soon as he turned, I think it was Crosby, was right in his face.
Yeah.
So – we've got to figure – I just – and you talked about it last year, the lack of what we did with Cousins because of Cousins. We've got to figure out how to get that bootleg where that edge defender is blocked or at least slowed down. And we have to figure out with Michael how he can get the ball out of his hands quickly like he did in Minnesota. That wasn't happening. Where was that? Where was the quick passing game? It wasn't there last week. It's just I come back to it and it's like, what was last week? Because it feels like I understand that we've been vanilla a little bit, but it felt like an anomaly more than the rule.
Well, and at 7:40, we're going to jump back into this. Like we've been talking about, we got some criticism nationally from Dan Orlovsky, and Mike has thoughts on it, rightfully so. That's 7:40. But it is a huge weekend in Athens with Georgia getting set to host Alabama on Saturday. We actually have Rusty Mansell joining us at 8 a.m. to talk all about it. And as we get closer to the game, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is going to be right in the middle of all the action. Friday from 2 to 6, got a special edition of Dukes and Bell from Grindhouse Killer Burgers on Lumpkin Street. We'll be locking in for Saturday's big game along with getting the weekend started a little bit early. That's Dukes and Bell Friday from 2 to 6 at Grindhouse Killer Burgers on Lumpkin Street. Coming up next, Tom Brady said if you think there's an issue with him being in the booth, you're paranoid. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass. We're going to get to In the Huddle in a moment. But I believe your wives are probably like me, Mike and Bo, and order a lot off of Amazon.
Oh, yes. There's
like
an issue
everything.
In my house.
Okay.
An absolute issue in my house.
Bo, what about you? A lot of Amazon packages coming to your house?
I don't think a lot describes it properly.
Yeah.
It's a ton. I mean, it's so much that I just go to the front door and open it just to check because I know there's always a package there.
Well, so I wanted to warn you, there's a new scam going on, and I almost fell for it because if I need something, I just order off Amazon. I don't want to go to Target. You know, like, I'm just going to order. It's just easier.
Same.
So I got a text message the other day that was like, hey, one of the items that you've purchased off Amazon has been recalled. For safety reasons, click here. We'll tell you what it was. And I was like,
what?
And then for a second, I almost did it. And then I noticed the text was to me and 18 other people. And I was like, but I don't want to condone this behavior, but what a great scam.
Yeah. The giveaway obviously being the group text, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably not going to do that, but there's my wife got done in by an Amex scam like a year ago.
No.
Yeah. Where it was like, hey, Your card is being hacked. You need to click on this link to talk to call a customer service representative. And when you called, it was the person that was scamming you.
Yeah.
And she finally put me on the phone, and I just laughed at him. he's going, hey, man, all right, well, we understand we're going to send you a new card. Can you just verify your address so that we can send you a new card? I'm like, no.
No.
We're not giving you the address.
No.
Well, can you just verify the phone number then so we know that we're sending the card to the right person? No. Not going to do that.
Oh,
if you don't
goodness.
Have my information in there, don't send me a new card, dude. I promise we're good.
I hate how clever the scams are
getting. It sucks.
And it does. It makes me wonder, like, who wakes up in the morning and is like, all right, I'm getting ready to scam
some people.
Here I go.
The scam I hate, too, is now they're doing the scam where they'll send, like, people will send you a text and offering you a job. It's like, dude.
Oh, I see that.
People
one too.
Out here wanting to make money actually make a harder living. You're out here scamming them because they're trying to get a job.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. That one's frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. Well, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Washington Commanders and the Atlanta Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. to get started today. Speaking of the Washington Commanders, quarterback Jaden Daniels said he feels good and more like himself, but that doesn't mean he's going to play at the Benz on Sunday. Jaden said, it's up to the doctors, not my decision.
Yeah, just go ahead and rest another one. You know, just go ahead and rest another week. I'm not scared of anybody walking in here. I'm with Bo. Bo said this yesterday. He's like, I want to play teams with good football players. I want to see how we stack up. I don't necessarily want Jaden Daniels to be out. And it's like I said yesterday, Bo, I'm not sure we don't see Marcus Mariota at some point anyways, because I think that you have that dynamic without putting Jaden Daniels in the way. Marcus Mariota showed a week ago that he can run certain parts of that offense.
I've thought all along Jaden Daniels is going to play. So I'm not – that's what I've thought from the beginning. You know, Kroski Merritt missed practice yesterday, the running back, the rookie running back. He's been good for them. You know, their offense last week got a lot of kind of credit for, hey, they scored 41 points. One of them was a punt return touchdown. One of them was Debo taking it all the way to about like the 30. They ran some different stuff. They did a good job with it, but I don't really care. Our defense has to come in and know that no matter if it's Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota, while they might do different things, the quarterback position is going to get out of the pocket, and we need to be ready for that.
Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald were picked in their first year of eligibility as nominees for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Locks. Both of them. Locks. Absolute locks. Drew Brees is one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. Hate to say that because he's a New Orleans Saint. But even when I was talking the other day, Bo, about Michael Penix's footwork, I still always go back to Drew Brees. He was the model of footwork in the pocket and of popping your feet and making sure that your hips are being pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think Fitzgerald to be first ballot too. He was a great receiver to begin with, but this sucks because I hate to bring it up like this, but his relationship with writers, his dad was a writer, so he understood kind of that thing, and he has a good relationship with the media, which will get him in quicker than not. I mean, the reality is some of these guys don't get in their first ballot because they didn't have a good relationship with the media, which is ridiculous. But now I don't believe in, well, he's a first ballot, which means he's a better Hall of Famer than a guy that made it in on the second vote. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, no matter what. Doesn't matter.
I'm gonna run through some of these other ones. You tell me yes or no, Bo, okay? I'm just going to say their name. You say yes or no. No explanation needed, all right? You ready? Here we go. Philip Rivers.
Yes.
Alex Smith.
No.
Greg Olson.
No.
Oh, Jason Witten.
He's Greg Olson, so no, I can't. I want to say yes on both, but no.
How about Frank Gore?
No.
Geno Atkins?
No.
Linebacker Thomas Davis?
No.
Wow. Wow. Man, that's some tough decisions on Gore. That's, woo, dang, that's tough.
If I was pushed, sorry, Allie, if I was pushed, I'd probably put both of the tight ends in.
Yeah, I think
I'm borderline on them more than any.
We've also shown, Bo, that when people stay relevant in the media, like a Greg Olson has, they're more than likely to get in at some point. It's just the Chris Carter effect, whatever you want to call it. Eventually, they end up getting in because people are still thinking about them. So it is what it is.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, the Eagles starting edge rusher Nolan Smith Jr. strained his triceps in Sunday's win over the Los Angeles Rams. He's now been placed on the injured reserve. He could return for the Monday night game at the Green Bay Packers on November 10th.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Aren't strains slight tears what we've been taught with muscles like that, like a calf muscle? If you pull it, it's a slight tear. You want to be careful because I think we think about triceps and stuff. That's a pretty serious injury for a guy like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tom Brady is pushing back on concerns that there is a conflict of interest between his roles as a Las Vegas Raiders minority owner and Fox Sports broadcaster. In his weekly newsletter, Tom wrote that only the paranoid and distrustful believe that there's conflict in his roles.
Huh. You know what? That you're right, because Tom Brady has never, ever, ever stepped across the line as far as a scandal. He's never been a part of anything that can be considered cheating. He has never been suspended for anything or been, won Super Bowls where they filmed the team before his walkthroughs. Tom Brady is literally never been a part of anything like that. I cannot believe anyone would think that he would try anything shady.
This is just so tone deaf by him, in my opinion. I don't dislike Tom. It is what it is. But the whole thing where he's like, you're paranoid. Like, dude, you were all over Spygate, Deflategate, whatever you want to call it, all up and down. Like, these conversations have been had about you, dude. Like, don't tell me I'm paranoid, because I think that a broadcaster that owns a team that's been in an offensive booth sitting in on team meetings for other teams could possibly not go well. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. You're missing me with this.
What does your gut say? Is something shady happening?
Define shady. What do I think is happening? Yes, he's going in there, he's learning stuff, and then he's taking what other teams are using and saying, well, they're using this. Now, it's not working, but he's locking it away and he's giving those suggestions. I think the problem that people miss is they're like, I don't think people understand what these production meetings are. Are coaches giving you the game plan? No, but they're going to tell you wrinkles and things that they want to do or how, but the bigger thing is someone with the football IQ of a Tom Brady is going to see how these guys are thinking and then know what his team's strengths and weaknesses are and probably have a mindset of how to attack, right? How to attack them or how they're going to be attacked. So it can kind of get – Mike, I wanted you to tell me if I'm wrong, that give you insight on how teams might attack and everything. That's what smart football IQ guys do. Nick Saban used to tell you what he could use to beat you, and if you didn't change it, he was going to do it, and then they wouldn't, and he would do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like I don't think Tom's going in there just learning new things. He can watch tape. He can diagnose tape with the best of them. But I think knowing the ins and the outs of what different teams struggle with, from an inner core, we don't run this because this guy struggles with this concept. That is something you can definitely learn to kind of pick apart other teams. And I think that that's one of the things that these coaching staffs don't want Tom to get a hold of in their conversation. So, yeah.
Well, coming up, we've all seen the Dan Orlovsky clip talking about the pistol. If you haven't, it is on the @929 Morning Shift Twitter account. You have some time to go ahead and watch that. Mike says that Dan got something wrong about this Falcons offense. He will have his chance to sound off next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. So Dan Orlovsky, we talked about him the other day, tweeting out that he was going to lose his mind on the Falcons film. Mike, you waited all week to hear what he was going to say, what he saw. Got the answer. It wasn't exactly what you thought. Let's get into it. Yeah.
As a reminder, today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I think that by now, you guys have heard it enough, and let me just say it out loud for the people out there in the back who have been just kind of following along a little bit. Zach Robinson's offense is too vanilla. It's way too predictable, and it almost in the backfield, and I'm talking about Michael Penix and his footwork. And, Bo, you can comment on this before we get to the sound. Michael Penix's footwork has been lazy. We talked to Arch about it earlier in this week. We talked about his throwing motion. He's not resetting his feet. You go back and watch a little bit in college, there was a little bit of that. I think it has actually kind of spilled over into the way our backfield action works out of pistol and the running game. And so that's one of the things I'm going to get into. But, Bo, his footwork, you and I talked about it on Sunday after the game a little bit. I know I talked to Grant in the post game. We talked to Arch Monday. It's got to get better.
Yeah, it kind of affects everything. You're talking about the where it affects the run action, play action stuff, and all of that. But just it's also, you know, the way he's setting his feet. It's affecting and not setting his feet and staying flat footed is affecting his throws.
Yeah,
it's why he misses those intermediate routes, right? And right now they've taken defensive have made a concerted effort to take away the deep ball and to keep everything essentially in front of them in that intermediate to short range, and he's not making accurate throws. We saw it early on in that game, some inaccuracies, and then when he starts missing throws, it hurts his confidence. So then he holds that ball and skips over Ray right open, who's kind of found a soft spot, and goes to Bijan in a covered route, which is turns into a pick six.
Yeah. And look, a lot of this was made online yesterday, the NFL Live or whatever, you know, show that Dan Orlovsky was on the four-letter network yesterday. He talked about, and he starts off talking about the pistol, how he doesn't like the pistol and the way that this team utilizes it. Let's hear from Dan yesterday.
Because they're in the pistol so much, Michael Penix almost is made to be a statue. Like, there are so many clips where he doesn't even move his feet because they promote that style of play. That's my issue with this offense is they're in the pistol so much, I think it hurts their action game. There's no displacement from the second or third level. It's a catch and throw offense. And again, even though their run game is good, I think it should be the best or yeah. one of them because they're missing hits.
Again, let me just say this for the people in the back who think that I'm defending Zach Robinson. I am not. Mm-hmm. Zach Robinson is an absolute problem for this team. If he doesn't get it turned around quickly, not only will he be fired, but the head coach will be fired along with him for trusting him with this offense. It's bad.
I don't know about calling the man a problem, but
he's a problem. He's a problem for me. He's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Now, I want to go a little bit deeper into what Dan said. If you listen to the first part of that, this is where he misses me. All right. Now, he gave three plays. He talked about, first of all, the depth of Bijan out of the pistol. He's like, yeah, Bijan's at 8 yards. I'm going to get in that in 1 second. All right. He talks about the bootleg, and you heard him in that cut. He's like, man, you know what? It's not helping on the play action stuff. Nobody is being stressed on the backside of these defense. But let me just first dive into his comments, and Bo, I want you to comment on this as well. I just brought it up a minute ago. He talks about Michael Penix's footwork. What he said is the pistol is promoting bad footwork from Michael Penix. Now, in what world, Dan, and I know that he knows this, so I'm curious to hear why he went this route, in what world is being in the shotgun promoting bad footwork. Every Hall of Fame quarterback for the last 10 years has played out of shotgun or out of pistol. It's the same thing. All right, you're not promoting lazy footwork out of Michael Penix simply because you're in the pistol formation. He's not moving his feet. It doesn't matter if he's under. Like, I know, hey, you got to turn around and run away from the center. His footwork is bad because his footwork is bad. We've seen good footwork. We saw Kirk Cousins last year with better footwork coming off a torn Achilles than we did with Michael Penix on Sunday. That's the first problem I have with what Dan Orlovsky said. I actually agree with like 90% of what he said. But where he missed me was he was like, yeah, it's promoting bad footwork. Bo, I ain't buying that, man. That's not what I saw.
I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know how it's promoting it. Why? Because he doesn't have to move much? I mean, I don't know. Look, Orlovsky played quarterback. I respect the fact that he played quarterback. I'm not going to take shots at him and the level he played because I don't think that's fair. Just like I don't think it's fair when people like Ryan Clark take shots at the fact that Peter Schrager didn't play. But I think that's a lazy narrative and a take that he might be projecting a little bit of, you know, that onto Penix. I don't for one second think that anything they're doing in the offense is promoting. Michael Penix played in the pistol primarily in college. So suddenly an offense that, you know, a formation that he thrived in college is making him bad and lazy in the NFL. I can't buy that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think that I completely agree with what you're saying about trying to attack Dan Orlovsky's playing career. I hate when people do that. First of all, Rame's the head coach of this team. How many snaps did he get in the NFL? Zach Robinson's career was not as good as Dan Orlovsky's. If you want to go that route, T.J. Yates was probably on par. It just that's a lazy take. You either know ball or you don't. All right. I mean, you go to Andy Reid and all these other people. What were their careers like? You know, things like that. These are really, really good coaches. Now, I do want to move on from there. I want to talk about the Bijan depth. All right. So Dan Orlovsky in this cut, and again, Allie put it out on our Twitter account at 929 Morning Shift. If you missed this, Dan Orlovsky kind of going in, it said online that he was ripping the Falcons offense. Allie, you said that his response was, I'm not ripping it.
Well, yeah, he responded because someone tagged him into your tweet. And
oh, wow.
So he responded, I didn't rip into them. I just think they're in the pistol too much. However, then like 3 hours later in all caps, he was writing, stop using the pistol. So, I mean, are you ripping into him or are you not?
Well, look, and like I said all along, there is a lot of pros that come to a pistol in a wide zone offense. And when you are running a wide zone offense, you are simply using the pistol. So this is what I don't like that he said. He's like, you know what? You're not stressing the backside. You're not stressing the backside. You're 8 yards deep. You're not stressing the backside. It's not about the backside. You cannot press, and they actually brought this up in the segment, and Marcus Spears talked about it, and they talked about Arian Foster a little bit, pressing the front side of these defenses. You can't stress the front side of the defense and press the hole if you're running things out of shotgun. Now, if he's calling for them to be under center more, I can understand that. That stresses defenses a lot more, but I think it also handicaps what Michael Penix can do in terms of the passing game. When you're under center, he's not really used to that. It's not what he does well. So there's all these moving parts, and I actually have Zach Robinson's back on that one. The pistol is how you utilize wide zone. If you go in shotgun and you go sidecar, then you can't really run wide zone because your running back is starting off behind your right guard and your right tackle. You're not stressing. You're not pressing the hole on the front side of things. So that kind of brings me to my next point. Him talking about Bijan's depth being at 8 yards. First of all, you're supposed to be at 7.5 in pistol if you're the running back. Heels at 7.5 yards. That's the way it's almost always been in terms of this Sean McVay offense. You can go back and watch the Rams, the pistol they've used. It's 7.5 yards. All right, so maybe Bijan is off by a couple of feet. I don't know, maybe 1 foot here and there. The problem I have, though, Bo, the play he brought up, and Allie, I actually talked to Grant about this in real time on Sunday as it was happening. Bijan missed the hole. Anybody who's ever run or seen a wide zone offense, all right, if you go back to, you know, the Washington Redskins, they were called, you know, at the time with Alfred Morris, who was one of my high school teammates, a 3-4-time pro bowler. Anybody who's ever been good at it, you stick your foot in the ground, you get north and south. That's just how you run wide zone. There's not all this cut in the backfield. And Dan Orlovsky in this cut is pointing at it going, well, he's 8 yards deep. He can't even get to the hole. Hey, Dan, he missed the hole. All right, and Bijan would probably be the first one to stand up and say, I've had a lot of success with this run and play. It's been actually my calling card since I've gotten in the league, Bo. And now you can't tell me that all of a sudden this doesn't fit what Bijan does. This is the reason he's a superstar in the NFL.
Let me ask you this because I understand the three plays they use in that breakdown, and I thought Dan did a good job. You know, and I think Dan does a good job of trying to explain what he thinks without being a jerk about it, right?
Agreed.
And I give a lot of credence to quarterbacks because they're the one guy on the field that learns everybody's job. They know everybody's job.
Yep.
They know what the defensive guys are supposed to be doing. But I would say this. How many times have we seen the fact that they're out of the pistol? And go back to the Minnesota game, like the first drive. Because they ran out of the pistol. Bijan Robinson was able to, you know, see these free rushers coming, these free, you know, these run blitzes or whatever you want to call them, and these guys in the backfield, and he had time to read, react, know where he wanted to go, and make a miss.
Yeah.
And so I think at times it can be a detriment. At times it can be a positive for him. But more than anything, being predictable or being just vanilla where it's easy for a defense to understand what you're doing is the biggest detriment to an offense.
Yeah. The last thing I do want to focus on is him talking about the bootleg, because that was kind of one of the plays that he focused on. Like I said, he ran back three plays of Falcons film. Now, I agreed with a lot, 90% mm-hmm. of what that Dan Orlovsky said, and I have a lot of respect for him in watching this film. And the one thing he nailed is that you are not stressing the backside defender on these bootlegs. Now, I don't think it's a pistol thing personally. I think it's the track of Bijan Robinson coming out of the pistol. And I think it's Michael Penix's footwork and the pistol on his fake handoffs and the bootleg. If you go back and watch our tape, Michael Penix is taking one step. He's taking one step. He's catching the ball. He's turning around. He's taking one step towards Bijan Robinson, and then he's booting out of it. And Dan Orlovsky is spot on. You are not fooling anybody. That guy on the backside of these formations is not taking one sniff of trying to track down Bijan Robinson on the backside of these plays. Maybe you can go back to pistol and say, this is one of those things where I wish we would run this from more under center. We've shown the ability to go under center more. If you're going to run these style of plays and you want the naked bootleg, not just bootleg, the naked bootleg to be a thing, then we've got to be out of pistol more. And it's not only the bootleg. Bo, I've watched play action a number of times. We did actually, I know people think this is shocking, we run a couple of snaps of play action against Carolina, and we actually set up in the pocket. The way that Bijan is attacking the football on the play fakes, and the way Michael Penix is utilizing his footwork back in the pocket are the reason the play action's not working right now. It's just not. They are not fooling anybody. I'm actually watching one right now on my laptop where he fakes a handoff to Bijan on like an inside play where Bijan's coming downhill towards the center, and the linebackers at the second level don't even move. They don't even move. They're not even worried about trying to step up and tackle Bijan Robinson in the hole, partly because the offensive line is pass setting. They're just pass setting. So it's so frustrating to watch because, like I said, I agree with Dan Orlovsky on a lot of the stuff he said, specifically the play action game. I think my reasoning is a little bit different than his, but he's spot on. Don't keep telling me we need to run more play action. We need to fix the way we run play action. We need to attack the football from Bijan in the backfield. You need to utilize better footwork if you're Michael Penix and stretching things out more towards the sideline. Don't take one step, fake a handoff, and think you're going to break contain on a naked bootleg. It ain't going to happen. And it's on Zach Robinson, TJ Yates, and everybody else to try to get this fixed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is how good was the run flash by the offensive line? Were they showing run and then getting under their pass sets, or were they just going straight pass sets? Because you need to talk about it more than me and explain it, but I don't think anyone – I think there's a loss of what play action is. It's not just the quarterback faking it to Bijan or Algier or whoever. It's the offensive line is the ones that the linebackers are really watching, along with Bijan. They're watching how they come off the ball or the lack of.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I think Dan Orlovsky nails on the head. The play action game, I don't think the depth of running backs a problem in the run game. The play action game, nobody's buying it. We need to run more play action. No, we don't. If you go watch the tape, it ain't working. All right, so you need to figure out play action before you say, hey, we need to run it 8-10 times in a game. It ain't working, dude. Like, nobody on this Panthers defense watching this tape thought for 1 minute that you were running the ball. Not on the bootlegs, not setting up in the pocket, not on the downhill stuff. A lot of it has to do with that backfield action. A lot of it has to do with the action of the offensive line. Find a way to marry this entire offense. And if it comes down to it, Bo, get out of the pistol.
It's a concept that this fan base and some of the media people have fallen in love with, is play action. It's like a buzzword. Pistol and play action are buzzwords. And I'm not sure if people understand when they're using them, how they're using them, and why they're using them, and if they're using them correctly.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this conversation, it's only going to balloon because Dan's breakdown is spreading all across Twitter, being retweeted by a ton of people. Everyone's got an opinion. We'll continue to talk about it. But don't forget, today we do have a special broadcast of Dukes and Bell live from Loyal Tavern in Roswell. We'll be setting the stage for Thursday night football and looking ahead to all of the big college and professional games this weekend. That's Dukes and Bell today from 2 to 6 at Loyal Tavern in Roswell. Speaking of college games, coming up, co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ and co-host of The Steakhouse, the Rusty Manziel will join us. Usually one of Mike's favorite people, but not this week. Rusty is next. They are not friends this week. He is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.